Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the R&R Studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy, presented by Tequila Embajador.
That is right. You are in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. on a Tuesday. It's a somber Tuesday at that. I think we all understand why. There's no way to make sense of all this. It's a tragedy on multiple levels. And it feels like any way, which way you turn, you don't feel like you're doing certain things justice, and you're moving on too quickly and all that. It's just very, very complicated. And as I mentioned in the last segment, put yourself in your own shoes, at your own line of work, your own office, wherever it is that you work, and something has happened to a coworker, or maybe they were involved in a similar situation. Your life doesn't stop. Your job doesn't stop. You have to continue on. You're getting paid to do a job, just like 51 other football players are in that Raider locker room. And as heavy as their heart might be for the victim that's involved, for their friend Henry Ruggs, they have to move on ASAP and get their heads on right to go win a football game on Sunday. And I know that it's all games and it's all this and it's all that, but reality is it's also a business, and these are professionals just like we all are to some extent. We have a job to do. You got to do it no matter what's going on in and around your life. And that's just the long and short of it. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation guest line and welcome in my good friend over at the Las Vegas Review Journal. He's a sports business and transportation journalist over at the Las Vegas Review Journal. You can follow him at Mick Akers. We are, of course, talking to Mick Akers. Mick, thank you so much for spending some time with us in the huddle on some trying times, but I appreciate your time. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I'm out here at the crash site right now. They just cleared up the blockage, so now the track was going through. We're kind of just walking the scene. It stretches a few hundred feet.
Mick, I know you were out there this morning and you kind of saw the whole thing in terms of the investigation unfold. If you kind of paint a picture of what that was all about for our listeners, if we could start right there.
Yeah, so, it's on Rainbow Road, pretty busy road between Spring Valley and Tropicana, which is another main, throughbred street here. But like I said, walking the scene, it's a few hundred feet long. And just looking at the police report, it said, he was in the left lane at a higher rate of speed. And for some reason, he veered to the far right lane where the victim's vehicle was. So at some point, he rear-ended the victim's vehicle. And you could kind of see the markings. They did green for his car, then pink for the female victim's car. And, they just stretched it so long up on the curb a couple times. It looks like had to be going at a high rate of speed to cause, this kind of expansive crime scene. They had, police out here for about 12 hours. Took away not only Ruggs' car and the victim's car, but also a black SUV. Haven't got word, whose car that was, if it was part of Ruggs' entourage or just like someone to stop to help or anything, but there was another car they took away. So they've been out here, they were here for like about 12 hours, and they finally cleared the scene about 4:01 today.
Mick, do we know if the other car, in which the victim perished, was that car stopped at a stoplight, or were they both kind of moving along?
It doesn't mention if the car was stopped or was moving, but that car was in the far right lane, a good, let's say about 200 feet away from the intersection. So I would assume that car would be driving. like I said, it's hundreds of feet away from the impact site to where the car became to its final resting place. So I would assume that that car had some kind of momentum before it was being impacted from the back. So, like I said, just being so far away from the intersection, I would assume, unless it, like, they had a kind of issue and they're pulled over on the side or something like that. But nothing, you know, in the police report indicates that, you know, that car was not moved.
Got it. Talking to Mick Akers from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Okay, Mick, from a legal standpoint now, what are the next steps for Henry Ruggs? We understand that he was booked today. I want to say was it the Clark County Jail where he was booked, and then tomorrow he has a court appearance. What are the next legal steps for Henry Ruggs?
Right. So, yeah, he booked in the Clark County Detention Center after being treated at UMC. Seems like he immediately hired a lawyer, a well-known DUI lawyer out here, Chesnoff. So, obviously, he took that first legal step there. So, yeah, he'll have his initial appearance. Believe on the two charges he's being held on, one listed at zero, which means you're not, you know, no bail. So he's going to have to, you know, go before a judge first to get any kind of, you know, granted bail or anything like that. And then you go through the legal process. Obviously, his lawyer said they're going to conduct their own investigation. You got to wait till the final Metro police investigation comes out. You know, if any kind of blood test or any kind of field sobriety test was, you know, administered before that, a lot of stuff has to come out before, you know, you can do the final legal investigation. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff to still, you know, kind of be unraveled here.
You said two charges. What are the two charges?
Yeah, so they had a DUI with substantial bodily harm, and then reckless driving with resulting in death or substantial bodily harm.
Is there any way to kind of, you know, I'm actually new to Nevada. What that could potentially lead to in terms of, you know, any penalties? Is there a scale involved? What potentially could Henry Ruggs be looking at in that regard?
I'm sure they'll look at the driver history, if there's any previous incidents, any kind of, you know, reckless driving, DUI, anything along those lines. Looks like it carries around a 2 to 25 year penalty, just depending on, you know, like I said, what his lawyer works out. But, you know, I don't, and unless they somehow get him out of, you know, the under the influence charge and it's just a reckless driving, like I said, it's going to depend on blood tests or breathalyzer or something along those lines. You know, there's more than likely going to be some prison time. Nevada, I don't believe they allow you to do any kind of probationary, sentence instead of going to jail, you know, when you have a death involved with, you know, reckless driving or DUI. So, you know, unless they, you know, somehow get rid of that DUI charge, there's more than likely going to be some prison time here.
We're talking to Mick Akers from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. You could read his work over at Vegas Nation. Just download that app, Vegas Nation, or go to VegasNation.com on the computer. Mick, do we know anything about the 23-year-old victim?
Nothing. That's all we got on the victim was her age. 23 says her address is listed in Las Vegas, so a Las Vegas resident. You know, obviously, once the next of kin are notified, the coroner will release the identification of that. This depends on long, you know, that takes usually a day or two, and then we'll get the identification. You'll get a little history, about the victim. So, you know, nothing too much on her yet. Just, you know, 23-year-old female from Las Vegas.
Was there a scene out there? I mean, did people start coming by the crash scene as the day unfolded?
With the road being blocked off, you know, between the two, streets on Rainbow, like I said, busy road to begin with, so that's creating traffic issues, you know, when that was closed. Some people stopped by. There's a few people right now that, since it's reopened, are kind of walking the scene and, you know, just looking at, you know, how long it is, looking at all the debris on the ground and the spray paint markings of, you know, the crash scene and such. You know, so there's been a few people. One guy walked by, a Raiders fan, and, you know, had a candle and lit it up. And, you know, it's paying respect. He said, obviously, he's a Raiders fan, but, you know, when there's a victim, you know, especially this young, you know, it's a tragic situation.
Yeah, it is. Mick, thank you so much for spending some time with us in the huddle under trying times. I know you've been out there over at the crash scene for a good part of the day. Appreciate the hard work. Thank you very much. Take care of yourself, my friend.
Thanks, Vinny.
You got it. That's Mick Akers from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He's a sports, business, and transportation journalist at the Las Vegas Review-Journal. And, you know, these are tough days, and those are tough assignments. And he's been out at the crash scene pretty much all day trying to get a handle on a long investigation. Sounds like it exceeded 12 hours, multiple cars taken away. It's just a bad situation all the way around. Not a good day whatsoever. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM on a Tuesday.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny and Lincoln on the Sam and Ash text line at 69187 or tweet them at Vinny Bonsignore and at LKennedy72. This is In the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Lincoln, I was talking in the previous segment and talking about how I don't care what your vocation is. You know, you have coworkers, you know, most times, you know, there are some people that are independent workers. I get that. But there's most of us work in a, you know, for a company, whatever the case might be, where you have coworkers, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes things happen to your coworkers, right? Could be anything, and could be what happened with Henry Ruggs, early this morning. It doesn't, your job doesn't stop because of something that happened to a coworker. And I hate to be kind of cold and calculating or seem cold and calculating about that. But really, you know, when you strip away the fanfare and, you know, what it is exactly that these guys do in professional sports, at the bottom line is they've got a job to do just like everybody else. And sometimes something happens that involves your coworker, but doesn't involve you. So, and I guess why I'm saying this, Lincoln, is, you know, I've heard, you know, it's too soon to be thinking about that. It's too soon to be moving on. Well, to who? I mean, yeah. Again, there's guys on that football team that had nothing to do with any of this. Right. They got to go to work tomorrow, Lincoln. Yeah. I mean, that's just the bottom line.
And also, you have to put in perspective, you know, when you're in a tragic accident, no one could possibly describe the emotions that you're going through when you take someone's life. I mean, the amount of guilt. Yeah. I mean, everyone deals with it certainly in their own way. But, I mean, just having that over your head, I can't fathom, you know, what you could be going through, how emotionally dealt on top of all the consequences that come from that. That's just, you know, you're involved in taking someone's life. You know, it's you know, like I said, it's unfathomable to put in perspective just what type of emotions you could possibly be feeling to say, you know, let's go on with our day-to-day activities.
Yeah, and we're talking, you know what Henry's going to have to deal with, you know, and allegedly self-inflicted as it is, he's going to have to deal with, and that's going to take the legal course and all of that. For his teammates, again, they've got a season to play.
Certainly.
And they can't feel bad about moving on so quickly from something that they had nothing to do with.
Right.
That's kind of what I'm trying to get at here.
Yeah.
Is that again, they have a job to do. They had nothing to do with what happened, and they have every right, without any judgment on, oh, you're moving on from football after all this happened, you should be dwelling on this, and they are going to be dwelling on this. But at the same time, just as you would, and when I say you, I'm talking to all our listeners, just like you would if somebody that you were close to was involved in a situation like this that you worked with. But when you showed up to work the next day, the boss wasn't saying, okay, you could have all day just to think about this. No, you got to get to work. That's what you're here to do. And we're all on some level a professional, and we're all on some level beholden to our job, because that's what pays the bills. That's what puts food on our family's tables. And you have to look at life from that perspective. And so I'm saying all that to say this, Lincoln, the Raiders have to replace Henry Ruggs. You can call that, you know, cold-hearted, whatever the case is. Okay, you can term it any thing you want, but that doesn't negate the fact that they do. And there's a football player out there by the name of DeSean Jackson, who wasn't getting the playing time that he was hoping for with the Los Angeles Rams. He asked the Rams, came to the Rams with those, you know, misgivings. It happened, I guess, on multiple occasions, and the Rams finally said, hey, look, you know, we're going to give you the green light, the permission to go try to work out a trade, find a new home. We're okay with that. He was not active in the Rams game against the Houston Texans on Sunday. He and his agent apparently tried to work out a trade. It didn't come to fruition. From what I'm told, Lincoln, teams were interested, but they also understood that why give up anything? He's going to get put on waivers, and then he'll be free to sign with, you know, anybody after that waiver process concludes. People are already playing connect the dots. DeSean Jackson brings something to the table that the Raiders need now, and that's speed and the ability to take a top off of a defense. That's what Henry Ruggs's job basically was,
right?
In a nutshell. I have heard that there's interest mutually, and we'll have to see how the waiver process plays out. But is that somebody, when you're looking at the football aspect of this, is that somebody that you would have an interest in the Raiders pursuing?
Yes, because of the speed aspect. Now, DeSean Jackson's route running ability has never been one that I've been, you know, particularly blown away by, but the ability to take off the top of a defense is still present. He can still do that, and so, you know, when you talk about veteran status and you talk about veterans on this team, the Raiders, you know, one thing that we've seen them stand out is the price has got to be right, right? You know, whether it was from, you know, KJ Wright or other guys. You know, it comes down to a one-year deal or whatever. The price has got to be right. But I would be somebody that I could see them, you know, taking a particularly interest in, because he does have the ability to take a top off of a defense.
Well, if you claim him on waivers, you'll be obligated to paying the remainder of the contract. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it kind of tops out at about $3.5 million. There's a bunch of escalators in that contract tied into playing time and snaps. I've been told, Lincoln, dubious that anyone's going to actually claim him off of waivers. They'll wait for him to become a free agent. Now, under that scenario, the Raiders or anybody else can sign him to the veteran minimum, and the Rams would be obligated to the remaining portion of the contract. That's kind of how that works.
Yeah.
So more likely than not, DeSean Jackson, based on at least what I'm hearing, good chance that he's going to clear waivers and he's going to be available. I have heard that there's, again, mutual interest. DeSean Jackson this year has caught 8 passes, not a whole lot of passes, for 221 yards.
Right.
He's averaging 27.6 yards per catch. And that's in, you know, limited playing time. If he were to come to the Raiders, that might change because of, you know, sadly, everything that's happened. It looks like he could still play a little bit, given the opportunity. Lincoln, his fit in this kind of an offense, I know that, as you mentioned, you know, the route running leaves a little bit to be desired.
Right.
But he's still a guy that, you know, when given playing time and when he's on the field, he produces. He still finds a way to have an effect, you know, in spite of whatever limitations he might have as a route runner.
Well, look, you also, you know, you're speaking to a new dynamic. We only have a 2-game sample size of life post Gruden play calling. You know what I mean? So there would be an instance where if you had a fit like him or a receiver that is a veteran status, Derek might fall in love with him quickly. You know, he might want to go to him often, early and often. Who knows? We don't know. We're only speculating, but the fact is that if you're playing on the mindset that you might be without Henry Ruggs, you know, you still have Zay Jones, who's had some interim time. That might be the immediate impact, the immediate, you know, person that you put in that place in lieu of if Ruggs is not available. Then you sign somebody like a DeSean Jackson and get him acclimated to the offense and what you're calling. You know, there could be a pretty quick fit. obviously, if the price is right, that's the way you want to go. You don't want to have to go out there too much. But I mean, we're all working on the speculation, Vinny, that Ruggs might not be there. I mean, might not be present. So you know, it's there's a lot to dissolve and to take in with the current situation.
Yeah, and I think that you know, I don't know what would have to change for it to be okay for him to be out on the field in the interim. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like that's more you know, the in these type of situations, legal situations, the typical course of action is charges are filed. And when that does happen, and it seems like that's already happened for Henry Ruggs, he was definitely booked today. I think tomorrow is when, you know, maybe the official charges are filed and he'll probably enter some kind of a plea. But once all that happens, then players are eligible to go on the commissioner's exempt list. What's the commissioner's exempt list? Well, it's kind of a paid leave of absence holding place for players who are now under investigation and going through some kind of a criminal process, right? So essentially what happens is the player is still on the team, but does not count against the 53-man roster, number one. They still get paid, so they're getting their salary, but then they're not allowed to practice. They're not allowed to go to games or attend games. They are allowed to come into the facility for meetings, for treatment. If there's any injuries that they're dealing with, they're able to get some workouts in, individual workouts in. And then they're also eligible for whatever medical, you know, insurance, that type of thing. So that's probably the next step in his football journey, is probably going on the commissioner's exempt list. We'll wait and see if that's how that, you know, unfolds. And again, Lincoln, we have to talk about these things because this is the real world. And
certainly,
this is the situation.
This
that
is
the
what
Raiders...
we deal with. I mean, we're in the business of analyzing and projecting and stuff like that. So this becomes culpable. You know what I mean? You have to talk about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And for anyone that has questions on, well, you know, John Gruden, you know, was basically forced or asked or, you know, ultimatum, you know, to resign 70 some odd hours after those first emails were discovered. Why doesn't he have, you know, the protection to be able to let an investigation, you know, unfold or a further investigation, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Fair question. But let's also understand that coaches don't have a union. There's no coaches union. That offers some sort of cover in situations like this. Meanwhile, players do. That's why they have the NFL Players Association, that union, and they negotiate with the owners. And part of those negotiations, this becomes a part of it. Like, what are their legal rights so that teams just don't kick players to the curb? You know, if something were to happen, you know, outside the realm of football, in this kind of a case, there's ways to be able to have a holding place for a player so that he doesn't affect your salary or your roster. That player still gets paid, but it, you know, the legal course takes the legal course. But that's why there's a union involved with players. There isn't one involved for coaches, so that's kind of where that is. But pretty soon, I would imagine that you know, some sort of, you know, whether it's the commissioner's exempt list or some other way, they're going to have to deal with that, because right now he is technically taking up a roster spot, and if he's not going to be available for them to play, they need to figure that out in order to bring in a replacement, you know, a 53rd player onto the roster. And keep in mind, Lincoln, the Raiders released Willie Snead last week, a veteran player who had asked for his release, it sounds like, and they accommodated him. He wasn't getting the playing time. Why? Because guys like Henry Ruggs were blossoming right before everybody's eyes, and there wasn't a need anymore for Willie Snead. So as a result of the Willie Snead release, and now what's going on with Henry Ruggs, and as Lincoln alluded to, presumably won't be available anytime soon. The Raiders right now, as we sit, if you're looking ahead to the New York Giant game, they've got three wide receivers, Bryan Edwards, Hunter Renfro, Zay Jones. That's it on their roster available for Sunday's game against the Giants.
Yeah. So, like you said, you can look, you know, depending on how it plays out, but I think it's fair enough to assume the possibility of Ruggs' immediate availability won't be, you know, might not be there. You can't necessarily count on it. And yeah. there is a morality clause that's also in the contracts that the kind of what you spoke of when the commissioner added that, you know, commissioner exempt list. I know you talk about like Deshaun Watson is still on the roster officially for the Texans. But yeah, this is probably one of those things where you want to plan just in case, or maybe you give Willie Snead a call back and say, hey, we can use you now.
And in Deshaun Watson's case, he is taking up a roster spot.
Yes, exactly.
He's not on the commissioner's exempt list. Why? Because no official charges. There's still an investigation going on into his situation. And the NFL, understanding that they don't want to impede any of the other investigations that are going on, and there's a criminal investigation going on, and there's also a civil investigation going on. So the NFL, and in spite of it all, there's been no criminal charges filed against Deshaun Watson. So he's actually free to play. If the Houston Texans wanted to play him, they could play him.
Yeah.
What's going on with that? He doesn't want to play for the Houston Texans. Yeah.
And so it's probably smart. It's probably smart not to have him play. I mean, especially as disgruntled as he is, I think it would be more detrimental to have him out there than it would be not to suit him up.
It would be detrimental, and perfect world for the Texans outside of Deshaun Watson just having a change of heart and saying he wants to stay in Houston, which I don't think that's going to ever happen. The perfect world is that he stays healthy and his trade value doesn't diminish, because if you were to play him now, you run the risk of him getting hurt, and then
there's no trade value.
Exactly.
I mean, even the speculation out there. I've gone on record as saying is that, you know, you can't make a trade for him right now because you don't know what his availability is. You give up value, and you don't know if he's going to be available anymore. You know what I mean? So it would be foolish for any team to come in and say, okay, I'll give you a certain amount of draft choices or cash or whatever, take on that contract, and he's not available to you. So,
yeah, I did hear today that it was close, I guess, with the Dolphins and with the Houston Texans in terms of trying to work out a trade. And I would imagine, Lincoln, in that kind of a situation, if you're the trading team, you know, the team that's trading for him, maybe you do it on a contingency basis. In other words, right now, a draft pick is just in cyberspace. It's not a real thing because there's no draft until next April. So you could say, okay, we'll give you, if he can play, if it's ruled by the next draft that he's eligible to play next year, then you can have our 2020, two draft first round pick, our 2023, first round draft pick, and whatever else, right? Let's say the next draft, the 2024 draft pick.
Right.
However, if he's ruled ineligible or goes on some sort of a suspended list come next offseason or whatever prior to the draft, then those draft picks, diminish. So you do it on a contingency basis. That's what I would try to do. But I guess if you're the Houston Texans, you just wait it out, you pay the guy, and then you hope that everything gets, cleared up in terms of the civil issue, the legal, all of that. And so that you're able to trade a player that has certainty in terms of his future. And I don't know what to make of any of that.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, right? I mean, if you're, let's say we're speculating, but we heard rumors about being Miami Dolphins. Mm-hmm. If you're the Miami Dolphins and you're willing to make a trade for Deshaun Watson, you want him available right now. You don't want the speculation if he's going to be available next year. You want him available right now. So the foregone conclusion is you have to wait and see these legal troubles play themselves out. Whatever's going to happen has to happen. It's anyone's, you know, it's anyone's questionable why it's taken so long for anything to come out one way or the other. But you just have to let these things play themselves out.
Yeah, and you know, today was the trade deadline, and you know, Lincoln, I know a lot of I got this question a lot. Why don't you shop, you know, Clete Farrell? Why don't the Raiders trade Clete Farrell? You know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And my answer each time was, sure, you might be able to get something for Clete Farrell right now. You know, he's playing, what, 15, 16 snaps a game, not a whole lot. He's lost time, obviously, to Max Crosby, Yannick Ngakoue. They're playing out of their minds. Carl Nassib has been playing good. So playing time has been diminished for Clete Farrell. But here's where I fall on that, Lincoln, and this is what I was, what I wrote and what I talked about last week. If, let's say, a team is offering you a fifth-round pick for Clete Farrell or a fourth-round pick for Clete Farrell, not to say that that was offered, but let's just say, for argument's sake, it was. Theoretically, those picks can be there for you, maybe even higher, if you shopped him in March.
Right.
You know, next offseason is what I'm saying, okay? So that fourth and fifth-round pick to you right now means very little because the draft's not until, you know, next April.
Right.
Whereas, to me, Clete Farrell gives you value right now, and I know that it's in a diminished role, but what happens if somebody were to get hurt? Wouldn't you want Clete Farrell nearby just in case somebody that's playing more than him right now goes down and you have a Clete Farrell to be able to turn to? So does that is the fourth or fifth round pick more important to you than having Clete Farrell as an insurance policy? I would rather have
Look, you need the depth. You want the rotation in that locker, and especially in that defensive line room, because that has paid off for you to this point. It's not, you know, to me, it's not a precedent that you have to get rid of them or you have to deliver them right now. It's not costing you any. You'll have the first round option come up next year. Next season, where you have to decide on him, and you don't have to make a deal on him. But I'm still of the mindset that Clee is playing out of position. He's not a defensive end; he's a defensive tackle, and I think that you can utilize him. That I'm just waiting for them to see to try that. But yeah, I want him definitely for that rotation to finish out this season. It's too valuable right now.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that because you know they've Jonathan Hankins' spot. You know, he's been playing very well. But it looks like they're leaning now more on Damian Square as his primary backup rather than Darius Filon. It seems like Square has sort of taken over for Filon. I thought Filon was playing pretty well, but when you look at the run defense, it looks like Damian Square has an edge in that regard. I'm kind of with you. Why don't you think that wouldn't you think that Clee could do some damage inside like that?
I would trust me, I would have put him in a long time ago.
Well, we will see. Maybe that's,
you know, I'm not Marinelli, so I can't, you know, speak on the defense line, but I would have had him in there a long time ago just to see what he could do.
Yeah, because he definitely fits the profile.
I totally agree.
At that spot. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM on a Tuesday.
Interact with the show. Text Benny and Lincoln on the Sam and Ash text line at 69187 or tweet them at Benny Bonsignore and at LKennedy72. This is In the Huddle with Benny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Raider Nation Radio 920 AM In the Huddle with Benny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador on a just a nauseating day all the way around. Link, we've talked a couple of times on the show over the last month about feeling like you got kicked in the stomach. Well, same exact feeling, obviously completely different dynamics. We understand that. We get that. But it's the second time that I felt like I got kicked in the stomach, as it relates to covering the Raiders. It's just, you know, and that's me. I'm not in that locker room. I'm not on that team. I can only imagine what those players are trying to deal with right now.
Yeah, you know, I've been around this team and this organization for a long time, and I've had a lot of issues that have gone on and arisen. I still can't put into perspective what just happened because I don't know how you put into words how you could possibly feel going into the situation, especially when they come in the locker room tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to clarify, the Raiders did report to work on Monday. They didn't have an actual practice. There was no media availability, but players did go through some, you know, workouts. They met, they had team meetings on Monday. So, you know, that was their official beginning coming off the bye week. It's not like they had all last week off and then Monday, Tuesday off this week and then, you know, come back tomorrow. There was a work day in place yesterday. It was just, you know, gosh, you do this job and, you know, in situations like this, Lincoln, you got to ask tough questions in difficult times. And I texted a player, you know, earlier about this. And, you know, when the player finally responded, it was like, hey, I'm just leaving the weight room, you know, after my lift this morning. I haven't heard anything. What's going on? You know, and then kind of had to let him know what was going on. And it was just like, I can't repeat what the text message back was, but, you know, can you only, like I said, you could only imagine. And here's the thing, Lincoln, this team was starting to feel pretty good about itself. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Got a chance to really enjoy the bye week after two straight wins. Derek Carr, after that Eagles win, said, hey, look, we told ourselves we got to get to 5-2 before the break. Mm-hmm. No matter what's going on, in spite of a two-game losing streak, got to get to 5-2. And they did. You know, they got to work, and they got to 5-2, which took them to first place in the AFC West, half a game out of first place in the AFC altogether. They have every right to feel pretty good about themselves. And then another kick to the gut like this.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, tomorrow when they try to resume work, the questions are going to be, you know, from people like yourself, because this is your job. This is what you have to do. You have to put in perspective, you know, how this might affect the guys going forward. And I can't really answer for them, or no one can, because everyone's going to approach this, you know, situation. But I know that when I was bombarded by the phone requests and the interview requests this morning, it took me a while to catch up. I was like, what do you mean? What happened? I had to go on the news and find out what had happened. It wasn't, you know, widely publicized until you read it or searched about it. So, you know, again, this is another thing where you're just going to have to try to put it behind you. You're going to have to try to move on, focus on the New York Giants, and it's not going to be easy.
No, it isn't. And, you know, just to kind of pull back the curtains just a little bit, you know, heard about something going on really, really early this morning. And, you know, there were things being said on Twitter. I saw it all. But, you know, in our job, you can't just run with things.
Right.
Had a pretty good idea of what happened, had a pretty good idea of who was involved, you know, understood, you know, there was a death, didn't know, you know, could have been, you know what I'm saying? Like, it didn't know if Henry was, you know, the victim of it too. So it's easy to sit there and just throw whatever out on Twitter, you know, and we get criticized for that. Where's the news? Where's the news? Where's the news? I have a good idea of what's going on, but I'm like, I can't just put something out there without being able to verify it and get to the bottom of it. That's kind of what we do. And it really, honestly, it distinguishes ourselves, myself, Vic Tafur, from The Athletic, you know, Paul Gutierrez over at ESPN, and many others. We can't just run with something like that and throw it out on Twitter. It's just, you know, can't do it and have to be more responsible. And it was just sitting there for an hour or so trying to really get to the bottom of it, not knowing all the details, just kind of understanding, you know, some of the kind of what happened, but not to who or anything like that. It was pretty excruciating, Lincoln, I have to say that.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, sometimes it takes a while for the news to be known. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, in a practical sense, you know, the Raiders have to forge on, and that's what they're paid to do. That's what fans are going to expect to see on Sunday when they hit the field again against the New York Giants. And you know, I go back to this too. You know, when you go to sleep last night on Monday night, if you're a Raider fan or if you're the Raiders watching what the Kansas City Chiefs did on Monday night, yeah, they won, but Lincoln, it looked kind of sloppy.
Oh, it was very sloppy.
Yeah, and I gotta ask you. I gotta ask you about this because, you know, no disrespect. Andy Reid is a Hall of Fame football coach,
right? No doubt.
And he's his stature, his legacy is solidified. But I have to say, and it wasn't just this year. It's kind of been that way for, you know, even though they got to the Super Bowl, I just felt like this operation has gotten a little slippery, a little loose, you know, a little. It's not a tightly run ship anymore that I see. Just a lot of sloppy play, a lot of undisciplined football out there, and I don't know. Am I seeing this incorrectly? And
well,
to me,
it goes to the head
coach.
Yeah, I think what's worth mentioning is that nothing is going to be perfect for that long. Eventually, the rest of the league is going to catch up. You know, when you talk about last night, I've thought this for quite some time. When you base so much of your offense on, say, Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, okay, you had other receivers that are kind of just running around in limbo. There was a couple times where, you know, they know that they're not the focal point, so they don't even go through their routes. You can see it. But you talk about having, for the Kansas City Chiefs, so much invested into those players, you know, you're not really taking care of the offensive line. They try to address it with the draft. It's still going to take some time. This is not as strong of a team as I say they were a couple years ago. The rest of the league is caught up. The rest of the division is caught up, and the division is going to make it hard. So, yes, there's a chance where I believe that there is a such thing called the Super Bowl hangover, and both me and my partner Brent Musburger have said it on the air. It's going to happen. The rest of the world is not going to sit there and let you go by idly. The AFC is caught up. It's incredibly competitive. But it's one of those things where not only the Giants, but I think the Chiefs are beatable. And I think the Raiders, if they handle their business, if they score the way they're capable of scoring, even with the not necessarily shutting out the defense or shutting out the Kansas City Chiefs, you can still beat them. I think the biggest nemesis in this division right now is the Chargers, in my estimation.
Yeah. Exactly. And they're, you know, we haven't had a chance to talk about that, Lincoln. That's a team coming off two pretty big losses. And, you know, one was, you know, they got their hats handed to them in Baltimore. That's always been a tough trip for a lot of teams, Chargers in particular, going out east. And not the best way to go into a bye week after really getting humbled in Baltimore. And then who's waiting on the other end of your bye week? The Patriots. And Bill Belichick, who you knew was going to have something up his sleeve for Justin Herbert. And all of a sudden, Lincoln, and we'll talk about this tomorrow. I know we're running out of time, but all of a sudden, Justin Herbert has looked kind of human these last 2 weeks.
Well, I mean,
games.
Yeah, Bill Belichick has notoriously done this to quarterbacks, especially young quarterbacks. He's had their number, and that's been throughout his career. So you knew something was going to happen. And it might just be that he gave a sort of a recipe on how to negate a lot of the things that the Chargers are doing well. You still got to go out there and do it. But, you know, you and I have been talking on our show for the last couple of weeks, ever since they played the Chargers. I still think it's going to come down to these two teams that are going to decide the division title between the Raiders and the Chargers. So they just have to take care of business.
I agree. It's always funny to me how, you know, Bill Belichick has written up this recipe for so many teams, yet nobody seems to follow it like his teams end up following. I don't know. It's uncanny. Lincoln, thanks so much. Terrible day. Thank you for your professionalism and insight. Hopefully better days ahead without question. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Absolutely, brother.
Damon Cotton, thank you for everything that you do. I know it was a handful for you today as well. You do a great job. You know that we appreciate you. But we will be back at it tomorrow, 4 to 6 p.m. in the huddle. Brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. Check you guys out tomorrow. Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the Beyond Nicotine experience with its Beyond Tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco.
TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.